Hands of steel, indeed. Jeff Neal has never looked better.
The tougher the opponent, the more you're going to get out of me. You know what I mean?
Jeff, hands of steel, Neal!
She's been aggressive. She's been technical. She's been a threat on the ground, down on the feet.
We're going to meet in the middle. Let's do it. Let's bang.
Mackenzie!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are going to chat just for a moment and then bring in our first guest. Matt, still in the still has that beautiful hotel painting.
Yes.
Behind him in Orlando.
Thing. I'm going to stick my head out of frame to give my kisses goodbye to my kids. Yeah,
okay.
Quick, sorry. They're going to the
universe. Okay.
Nice.
That's very nice. And thank you, by the way. Happy Valentine's Day, Matt. And thank you. I got my gift. Thank you very much. This was like really touching.
That's not true. I didn't get that for you.
It was, the note said you did, so thank you.
Well.
I mean, what does this say here?
What does it say? Hopefully nothing sick.
No.
To my Jimmy from Maddie. You wrote that.
I did not.
I don't write that.
That would be weird if I wrote it. But I wanted to thank you.
That's how I know you're full of shit.
You don't like being called Maddie?
No, I don't like being called Maddie. Do you like when I call myself a chatty Maddie?
I hate it more than terrorism. Hey, we also have Mackenzie Dern. Let's bring in Jeff Neal. He hasn't been on with us since in 4 years or 5 years. I cannot believe how long we've been doing this podcast. We love Jeff Neal.
Fuck yeah.
And this is a big fight against Ian Garry.
Oh shit, yeah. There it is.
There he is in the sauna. Hey Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Doing good. How you doing?
Hey, we're going to help you get through this, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, no, for real.
It's going to help you get through. I mean, we bullshit for a little bit. You make the weight. You thank us when you win the fight. Sorry.
Hey, man.
How long you been in there, and how long do you have to stay in there in one shot?
I've been here 6 minutes. I'm going to stay until the interview's over.
Okay, so Jeff is in a sauna right now, just so you know where Jeff is.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff.
I got Uriah Hall with me right here.
Oh hey, Uriah. What's up? Good
Jeff,
to see you.
I've been happy to see you. But holy fuck, man. Come on. Yeah, Jeff, you can't just bring Uriah on us like this.
Come on, man. Dude, I can do two interviews.
Dude, I wish I was in that sauna. Listen, no Bobo, but I wish I was in that sauna with you guys. I do.
Jeff froze up a little bit.
That sucks.
Sorry.
He is.
Yeah, you're cutting out just a little bit. Yeah, it's a little bit.
It's cutting out a little bit. Let me see if we hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have to get out.
Man, we don't want to ruin your weight cut.
Yeah.
No, hey, this ain't the weight cut. I'm just getting used to the heat. I haven't started weight cutting yet. I'm good on weight, so I ain't worried. I'll get out and I'll talk a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, because it's cutting in a little out. I love Uriah Hall. I'm so happy to see Uriah.
Oh, Uriah is an old friend of ours, man. Shit.
Yeah.
How about this? Because we're talking to you now, but Uriah, let's tell Uriah we want him on the show like next week or something because we miss him.
Yeah, I'll tell him right now. Hold up.
Tell him. I don't know if he's busy, but we want him on ASAP. Yeah. Jimmy,
hey, Uriah, they said they want you on the show next week.
Oh, I'm down.
He said he's down.
Okay, yeah.
He said, text me, guys. Yeah.
Right?
He missed you. Yes, sir.
But, hey, Jeff Neal, this is your time now, bro. Don't you listen. You got to love that because you're not a big guy that just talks a lot of shit. So you got to love when the hype is automatically just built in because of the hype train, which is Ian Garry.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's like it's now all I got to do is focus on training. And what I got to do, you know what I mean? I don't got to worry about building it up. You're right. It's a perfect fight for me.
It's great, man. It's like it's like that hype train, and then you're like an old school like cowboy, and you like hijack the train. It's my fucking. Yeah. I just take all that fucking hype and smoke, and it becomes Jeff Neal's day.
Yeah, I love that. That's for sure.
Now he, you wonder how Ian's going to handle you know, because there's all this outside like nonsense going on with him where guys are coming after him, and you wonder how that affects a fighter. Some guys it doesn't bother, and other guys it does have an effect on. And did you, was it you who said you didn't like what he did with Neil Magny selling the merch with Neil Magny's? Was that you?
No, that was my mugshot.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I meant your mugshot. Yeah, was it you that said you didn't like him selling with your mugshot on?
I mean, yeah, of course I didn't like it, but I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to take it like personal. You know what I mean? I just got to separate the fighter from whoever the fuck he is. You know what I mean?
Does it affect you? Oh, sorry, Matt. Does it affect you at all? Does it make you like, you know, again, Jose against Connor? Does it put you in a place where you're afraid you're going to be so mad at him? You might allow emotion to overcome.
No, but I'm not emotional. I don't get emotional, but it did affect me, but it affected me in a good way. It woke me up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to go run. You know what I mean? I still want to beat this dude up. You know what I mean? But it's nothing personal. I just want to beat him up.
You know, what's really crazy and just not right is, you know, when people talk like when Ian Garry gets upset, when people cross a line with him, like, and I understand because listen, man, your wife is your wife.
Yeah.
Family's your family. Yeah, that's man. What you die for. But there is a button there, because you know who else you would die for? You die for your kid. You die for your reputation. So it's like, where does the line get drawn? I mean, he doesn't like when people talk about his family, this and that. Meanwhile, you have a family, you have people that love you, and all of a sudden he's selling a mugshot. Neil Magny, and I'm not trying to attack the guy personally. I mean, now Neil Magny is a great fucking guy. I don't think anybody ever had a thing with that, Neil Magny. And he's taking something he said out of context. So it's like, hey, dude, if you want a line drawn, maybe you shouldn't be crossing it yourself, no?
Man, that's 100%. Yeah, 100%. He gets what he gets. Like, that's because normally, like, all the shit that Ian's going through, right? You know what I mean? If it was any other fighter, I will be defending them. I was like, hey, man, keep their personal business out of there. Like, why is everybody worried about his life? Like, you know what I mean? That's how I feel. But just because since it's Ian Garry, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Because he did all that other shit. I'm like, hey, you get what you get, bro. I don't like how the fans are coming at him. But, I mean, hey, he acts for it, bro.
Do you think some guys almost need to have a villain when they fight? Do you think some guys need there to be something extra to get them hyped up? Whereas a guy like yourself doesn't need that at all?
I mean, honestly, man, I feel like you just need to be self-motivated. I don't need no villain. I just needed a quality opponent. You know what I mean? Like, I lost my last fight, and I kind of took it lightly. I got too comfortable with where I was at, and I went away from the things that I was doing because, like, I was getting away with winning fights with minimum effort in my training camp, and I tried to pull that shit against Shavkat and got beat. So, like, you know what I mean? Now I got Ian Garry, and he's another undefeated fighter. You know what I mean? Moving up the ranks real quick. So that's enough motivation for me to wake up and get shit done.
You know, someone else just said that. It's interesting you say that about I was getting kind of like cruising a little bit or whatever, you know, to paraphrase it. Matt, who just said that to us? Another fighter just said that to us, that he had to go back and figure out why it was he won. It was Drew Dober who said that, where he had was doing great. He lost a couple fights, and then he had to go back and remind himself, this is how I won these fights to begin with. But I guess it happens when you guys are doing well sometimes.
Yeah, no, 100%, because you start winning, like I'm like, don't want to bring it up. I want to fucking fight like 14 days after a DUI. You know what I mean? So like, you know what I mean? Like you win a fight like that on national television, you're like, oh man, I could still fuck around and still win these fights. You know what I mean? And you just can't, man. It was me being dumb and just like, I'm in the UFC, I'm ranked. You know what I mean? Like I was just getting too full of myself. You know what I mean? I needed to be humbled, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that you fought two studs in a row and you took those guys out. Yeah. You take out a guy like Ponzinibbio, and then you take out Vicente Luque. I mean, my head might be getting big too if that shit happened.
Yeah, nah, bro.
And you didn't lose to a lemon. Shavkat's, you know, definitely a dangerous guy. How'd you feel with him now? Is the hype real? You feel with him? You felt him?
I think it is, man. I don't know. I view myself as a champ. You know what I mean? So whenever I look at the other guys, like I felt like when I fought Shafi, I feel like if I fought him again, I'll beat his ass.
Oh, I
really feel like that. 100%. Because like I fought him at 50% of what I can do. You know, I was gassed out in the first round and he couldn't take me down.
Yeah, you were taking what he hit you with in the third round. The third round was like really, he at the very, very end, he was throwing heavy elbows on the cage and knees. And I mean, you were standing. I mean, he had the standing choke he got you with. So yeah, he couldn't put you away.
Yeah, like if you can't put, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to discredit Shaq Castman. So just take it. Like if we fight again, I'm beating him up.
So you like that you have another kind of, and whenever I say hype, it's Ian DeGarry's a very good fighter. So it's not an undeserved respect that he's getting, but do you like that you have another shot right after at somebody who is also kind of in that boat that you can stop?
Yeah, no, for sure. Cause I just like kind of like a redemption fight, you know, even though people love that last fight with the Shavkat, you know what I mean? I didn't go home happy. You know what I mean? Everybody was congratulating. Great fight. I didn't want to hear none of that shit, you know? So this fight is like a redemption and I'm ready to show who I really am.
So you Uriah Hall. So did you guys train together for this?
Yeah. Yeah. We always train together. Yeah. Oh, so he's been like,
And where are you training out of? It's
Fortis MMA in Dallas, Texas.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, and when you get, let me ask you a question. What was the fight that you fought right after the DUI? You said you went on national television. What was that fight?
Positivio.
It was Positivio. And does that experience change you at all? Does it kind of like go, hey, man, I gotta, sometimes something happens to us that just kind of we realize like, hey, I'm making mistakes that could have been a lot worse. I'm glad this happened.
Yeah. It was like, I kind of still didn't learn my lesson. Cause like, you know what I mean? It's like you do some bad shit and you get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, I did some bad shit. Want to fight, got away with it. You know what I mean? It took a while for me to like get slapped in the face real hard. You know what I mean? I had some other shit going in my life I'm not going to disclose, but it took a little bit. And you know what I mean? Having to blow in that breathalyzer every day when I get in my car isn't fun either. So, you know, but that, I'm awake now.
let me ask you, does that breathalyzer thing, does that count for weed also?
No.
Oh, thank God.
But I'm a lightweight when it comes to weed, so I don't smoke and drive.
Yeah, no. I'm not trying to. Yeah. Be like Jimmy. Yeah, nah. Jimmy doesn't do anything.
My addictions come out in other ways, though. So believe me, I'm not a picture of spiritual health either. I just don't drink or do drugs. Yeah. But, you know, there's porn on. Believe me, I'm going to throw my back out watching.
Jimmy's got all the fucking demons that burn battles on a daily basis. Let me ask you, how's our friend Saif Saeed, though?
He's good. He's going to be down here Thursday. You know what I mean? Still the same old general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing different.
All right. Yeah, man. I like Saeed. I think I seen him doing some, not commentary. He did some analyst work recently.
Yeah, he does breakdowns for the pay-per-views.
That's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
And it's good. Yeah. I love that shit.
Yeah, it's solid.
That's his wheelhouse for sure.
Yeah.
How much tape do you watch on other guys, Jeff? Are you a guy that gets into the weeds of it, or do you go a lot more by feel? Do you have somebody else watch? Every fighter seems to be a little different.
I mean, I mix it up. Like the fight week is when I start really watching it. Before the fight, I let the coaches and everybody else watch it, but I just don't want to get too wrapped in because people grow, people change. You know what I mean? And every fight is different. You know, like I watch a few Zen fights and I seeing little slight tendencies, you know what I mean? But I don't want to base it off that because he might have a whole different game plan for me. You know what I mean? And then I try to think about like, if I was Ian, what would I do to beat me? You know what I mean? And I think about it like that too.
Hey, go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to say, that's interesting. I've asked a lot of fighters, how do you think he's preparing for you? And it's funny. That's how you go into it. You actually start thinking of that when you're training.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got a good idea of what he's going to attack and where he's coming at. But we'll see. You know what I mean? You just never know until you step in that cage.
Hey, away from the MMA for a second, Jeff. What are we doing when we're on an off day? What are we doing when we're chilling out? What do we like to do? Hey,
are we talking in camp or out of camp?
All right, we'll do both. In camp,
okay.
On an off day. And then we'll get into the breathalyzer. No, fucking right.
No. In camp, man, I just, on all day, I really just chill. Like, I do smoke, so I smoke a little bit at night. I only smoke at night because if I smoke during the day, I'm not getting shit done.
Yeah.
But I'll smoke at night. You know me, play my video game. And, you know, get on Xbox.
Yeah. What video game you like on the Xbox?
The Warzone, but I play just anything multiplayer. I mean, I just like to play my friends, but I've been on the Warzone a lot. This new game, Suicide Squad, came out. I've been playing that lately too. Ooh. I'm on PS4. I'm on PS5 too.
Yeah, I'm on the Meta Quest 3. And you know what they
the
just
come,
coming out?
Oh, you got the 3, Matt. You got the 3.
I got Jimmy, I live in VR. You know, you catch me in the fucking metaverse. But the new game coming out, and the developers, they gave me the beta testing or whatever it is. And it's a Contractor's Showdown. And it's going to be...
It's a shooting game, right?
It's a battle royale. I love the battle
royale. Oh, words, okay.
I play Population 1 a lot.
In VR?
This Showdown, Contractor's Showdown, it's going to be almost more like... a combination of Call of Duty and PUBG in VR. It's gonna be fucking sick.
Nah, I'm getting that. I'm getting the MetaQuest right after this fight. First thing I'm gonna do once that check drop on Tuesday.
We're gonna be squatting up, me and you.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy, it is a lot of fun.
I don't like shooter games. I'm not against them. I'm just not good at them. I play chess in VR.
It's not VR chess.
No, I said shooter games. I'm not good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm too uncoordinated. Like, I just play chess in VR. It's a very bizarre waste of money for me. I'm just in this giant room playing chess where I could just do it with a real person. I like it, but I get very. You don't get sick in VR at all, Jeff? Have you tried it?
I tried it. I got the MetaQuest too. I play like little zombie shooting games and stuff like that. I haven't played it in a long time, man, because like playing that game after a day of training. Kind of exhausting.
Yeah, get Population 1, bro. You have to climb. Yeah. I'm climbing buildings so I can go perch and snipe. I'm like, yo, dude.
Yeah.
You don't get this kind of fucking workout doing fucking Xbox because I'm fucking
My wife's
looking at me like a fucking moron. I'm like,
Yeah, I'm gonna get it.
I'm happy that you're getting this fight. You're 8 and he's 10. I'm happy for you though to get a shot at derailing somebody. I'm a big Jeff Neal fan, so I'm always happy to see you fight. Have a great fight, Jeff. It's always good talking to you. And don't make it 4 years. It's been 4 years since you've been on the podcast, I think.
Is it 4 years, bro?
They said 2019. Perry, huh? They said 2019.
Hey, Jeff.
Was it Mike Perry I fought?
I don't know. They just told us before that you haven't been on since 2019. Hey. I vaguely remember talking to you about leaving your day job. You were bouncing, right? You were working in a bar?
Yeah. I still kind of do it every now and then.
Hey. Oh, yeah, the mic pair.
Yes.
Hey, Jeff, before we let you go, you told us what you like to do on your off time during fight camp. Where do we catch you out of camp?
Hey, probably at like a little dive bar. I've learned to stay away from clubs now, so I just go to dive bars now.
Too much trouble.
I'm a dive bar man.
Too much trouble. Too much trouble at the clubs. And when you go dive bars, some of those fucking chicken heads in there will be like, oh my God, he's in this bar.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Fuck yeah. They hit a jackpot.
Sir.
Fuck yeah, Jeff. Jeff, go get that guy shine, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Have a great fight, Jeff. We'll talk to you after, hopefully this year. I want to see you do well. Have a great fight on Saturday.
Hell yeah, man. Thank y'all, man. Appreciate Jeff. Talking to y'all.
Okay, take care, Jeff. One. So what we're doing right now, before Mackenzie Dern comes in, she has a very, very interesting fight coming up against Amanda Lemos on Saturday. Let's do a few of the picks. UFC 298. It's February the 17th in Anaheim. I cannot wait for this fight. You want to start with the opening fight of the card? Roman Kapilov against Anthony Hernandez. Roman has looked really, really good. I know Anthony is ranked and Roman isn't, but I say that Roman is going to win this fight. How is he going to win it? Let me just think for a second, Matt. Let me see what his last...
think about it. Why am I not getting my rundown? I'm not getting it.
I got mine.
Send it to me again, the rundown. It's not opening for me.
Let me see, buddy. He's on a 4-fight win streak. Four straight knockouts. I am going to take, and I know Anthony Hernandez. Let's see what his last couple of fights were. I probably should have done this before the show, but being stupid and lazy, I did not. I was too busy enjoying. Also, on a four-fight win streak, his last fight was against Shabazian. Beat him with a TKO on a third. Joaquin Ferreira, very tough fight. I tell you, I think I'm comfortable taking Roman Kovalev. I think he wins this fight. I think he stops Anthony Hernandez. I think he stops him either in the second or third. So that's my prediction for the first fight. Roman Kovalev over Anthony Hernandez.
Well, listen, I understand where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to go with it, I'll tell you where I'm going to go with it. And I just thought, it's not that I like to be different. But sometimes I do, Jimmy. Like to be different.
Dare to be different, man.
Sometimes I dare to be different. And you know what sucks? When I try to open up my thing and it gets to right there. It's like a little slice of a pie.
I like pie. Yeah.
But I get it almost full circle. And then I go to open up my thing, but I don't think I have any more storage in my phone. So this episode of UFC Unfiltered is going to be all up here. I'm going to use my brain power.
Okay.
I'm going with Fluffy Hernandez.
Okay. How? How do you think
you beat him?
I said, okay, how?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get all crazy.
That's okay. I don't mind when you get a little ornery.
I say this. This is what I say. First round knockout. He's going to catch
him. Wow, okay.
It's crazy. I know it's crazy. But sometimes you got to get a little crazy. And that's what I'm saying. It's MMA, bro. You understand? Are you trying to say that Puppy doesn't have heavy hands?
Not at all. I just think that...
Are we split hands?
I'm just think Kovalev has impressed me so much in the last few fights. I'm taking him. Now, the next fight up, I think we both know who we're going to pick. Number two against number three. It's Merab Dvalishvili. Very hard name to say. Two V's in the last name should be illegal. It's a very difficult name to say. Merab, who I think deserves a shot at the title, especially if he wins his fight over Henry Cejudo. I think I'm going to guess we take the same thing. I'm going to take Merab by decision. I think he's just such a tank with cardio and so fast, and he moves so well, and it's constant. I mean, Henry has that as well. But I think Merab beats him. It'd be a good fight. I don't think this is going to be a 3-0 win. I think he wins 2-1. I'm going to take Merab in a close fight over Cejudo by decision.
I say Merab by decision also. Yeah. I think he's going to out-hustle. I think he's going to put it on him. I think the pace is going to be too much. And I really feel, oh, by the way, do you know that whole thing was a big, like, kind of like a big stupid joke. On the latest embedded, you see, remember I told you I didn't buy that whole thing with him getting rid of his coach, Henry Cejudo?
Oh, yeah, of course. So stupid.
Yeah, so he's like, we got you. Dude, you really got nobody.
Matt wasn't gotten, and I didn't care.
Yeah, so he didn't.
What do I care?
He didn't get rid of his little piggy coach.
Just love him.
He's a chubby chaser. He's going to be, they've been together a long time. So Coach Porkbite is still with Henry Cejudo. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just for the record, like I'm on vacation with my family, but like Merab only had three corners and he has Longo. I believe Aljo, and he's got John Wood there, and he's been working in Vegas mostly for this whole camp. He's been
right.
You know what I mean? So I don't want, hey man, why are you on vacation? This guy's going to battle. We love John Wood. John Wood is awesome. And he's over at Syndicate mostly now. So when you go to battle, you want the guys that are with you day in and day out and this and that. So, you know, he only had three. It's John, Longo, and I believe Aljo. So, you know, I didn't just say I'm going to Disney World. I didn't just leave him. But say
wait, are you saying that you need I'm not busy.
What are we saying?
If he needs another person in the corner, no, I'll be happy.
You're only allowed to have three. Huh. Do you understand? Are you confused what's going on?
I thought you were saying there was one person missing from the corner.
No, he's got it. But I'm trying.
Oh, he's got his three. Okay. I thought you were implying that there was an empty.
He's only allowed three.
I see. Okay. Okay.
So
yeah.
That's who he has. So that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
I'd go out there if you wanted me to. I'm saying if somebody's busy.
Jimmy, I'm sure if he was allowed an extra person, he would choose me, not you.
But you're busy. You're on vacation. Well, you're having a ball.
Yeah. I'm having a good time. My thing is this, though.
Yes.
Rob's going to shine. It's his time.
Yep.
I didn't mean the rhyme.
Jeff Neal, Ian Garry, 8-10. Not that that matters. People forget Jeff Neal's number 8. Rakhmonov is a fucking killer. And that was a great fight with that standing choke deep into the third round. I tell you what, I think Jeff Neal stops Ian Garry. Jeff Neal is a guy that he's been around for, it seems like, a lot longer than Ian Garry. We've been aware of Jeff Neal. And something tells me that Ian Garry getting caught up with all the stuff outside. I like Ian Garry, but something tells me he may not take Jeff Neal as seriously as he should. And I think Jeff Neal puts that big fist in his face, and I think he stops Ian Garry.
Jimmy, this is what, you know what doesn't make a lot of sense?
What's that?
MMA man.
You're right.
So people might say, hey, man, Ian Garry beat Neil Magny handily. Neil Magny beat Jeff Neal. But this is the thing. If you look at, the list of fighters that Jeff Neal fought, you get something that you don't get by just having a natural ability of fighting. You get something called fight IQ. You get something called experience that you only get by going through the experience. So Jeff, he's fought a murderous row of people.
Yes, he has.
So Ian Garry could be the next big thing, but what he does not have is that experience.
Right.
So I feel that experience is what's going to make, what's going to be the big difference here. And I think that he's so powerful. And if he's truly channeled in and did the right thing, and being with Saif Saeed, Uriah Hall and that crew, I feel he did. So I think it's going to be, I agree with you, Jimmy. It's not that I want to agree. I don't want to disagree with you.
No, I know what you're saying.
I like when you give me two thumbs up on my whole podcast ability. Right, Jimmy?
Yes.
Oh, you're trying to say Mackenzie Dern is here?
She is in the waiting room. I didn't know that either.
But really quick, I say Jeff Neal, second round stoppage.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards that too, or maybe in the third, but I do think Jeff stops him. Right.
I say second, you say third.
Yeah, I'm okay with third. Let's bring in Mackenzie Dern, who's been on this podcast quite a few times. Amanda Lemos, they're fighting the main fight of the prelims, which is always a fight that is expected to be very, very good. Amanda is very, very tough, and she has beaten some of the really great fighters, and she wins in all ways. TKOs, submissions, decisions. She's a very, very well-rounded fighter. Hi, Mackenzie. Welcome back.
Hi. How are you?
Very, very good. And we were just talking about Amanda. She is a very well-rounded fighter. She has found ways to win in every way that you can find ways to win. So what are your thoughts on her and what she'll be bringing for you?
Yeah, this is definitely not an easy fight for me. This is a tough fight. When I pictured that I would be fighting Amanda, I picture would be, with like a full camp, not, hey, Tatiana's out, let's get in Anaheim 4 weeks. I was like, oh shoot, Amanda Lemos, that's a tough fight. I know she has the knockout power, black belt jiu-jitsu, really tough girl. But at the same time, it's like, man, I'm just coming off a loss and I get the opportunity to fight, here in Anaheim, against someone who's ahead of me in the ranks, who just fought for the belt. So it's like, man, there's at the same time, no way I could say no to that, And I kind of feel it's a little bit similar to Jessica with that knockout power, But one thing I did see with her fight, I saw live in Boston against Zhang Weili on the belt, was Zhang Weili did out-grapple her, So for me as a grappler, I'm like, That's my road, you know. That's my road right there.
You like seeing that?
Yeah. Oh, shoot, Jimmy, 100% you like seeing that. You haven't seen Mackenzie Dern's jiu-jitsu, Jimmy.
Oh, I have.
Me too, and I love it. Mackenzie, I love your jiu-jitsu. The best thing to do after losing a fight, the best thing to get that monkey off your back is to beat someone up, Mackenzie. I think you're doing the right thing. As long as you weren't on the couch eating bonbons and shit. I mean, what were you doing when you got the call?
On the couch eating bonbons. I mean, it was like Christmas and New Year's, but, you know, I didn't expect to get the call. I thought it was going to be like, you know, they were kind of saying like, oh, you'll probably just fight in May. You know, everything's just so backed up all the way to like April, May. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, I kind of turned a page of my everything I was going through in the last year. So I'm at a way I was able to train in this 4 weeks more than I trained for my camp for Jessica in 2 months, you know. So it was just able to kind of like, it's almost good when you can kind of just trust the process. 4 weeks is not really too much you can do. It's not like we're going to be this whole new technical person. I worked like a lot in the gym, started to get like, you know, work my physique, my strength training, emotionally, mentally. I got like really well prepared. Tiki was just like, okay, just trust the process and let's go. And I'm kind of an overthinker, you know, I overthink everything. I start getting doubts like, should I do this? Should I do that? How should I do my camp? You know, and just like that. So there was no time to do any of that. So it wasn't, I never thought that when I do a short notice would be like, I thought that when I would do short notice, I'd be like, oh, training and all this stuff, you know, but it was actually like kind of the best way to teach me to just go with the flow and do your best, you know. And of course it's gonna be a win or lose, training or not training, you know, but I definitely feel like winning or losing, I'm gonna go out there and put on the show because I trained so hard for this.
So was 2023 tough for you? Because I was thinking as you're talking, we've had you on a lot, and every time we have you on, you're smiling and you always seem to be in a good place. So I know you have tougher times. I just can't picture it. Are you back to where you need to be now? And were you able to fix whatever needed to be fixed?
Yeah, I mean, a page has turned. So, I mean, I'm not back, but I'm definitely where I should be. You know, I'm way, I'm at peace. You know, it's just like I have no money going to the places. You know, anything that I'm making now, it stays to me and to my, you know, into my life, you know, and what I'm trying to build on and everything like that. So it's way different. It's just everything's organized now. It's way better. I mean, even like my social media, it's hard for you to post when you're like, you know, down vibes, you know what I mean? You want to like post and be with your fans and connecting, but how are you going to do that when you're like, man, you're like just trying to get through the day, just trying to get your trainings done, get the responsibility done, you know? And it's not just me. I mean, tons of people go through, even Jessica is going through a divorce, you know? So we're both going, that's the thing. It's all life problems, you know, they're life things. It's nothing like, you know, crazy. It's just life things. But you know, when you're getting like punched in the face in front of tons of people and going through life stuff, it's a little bit like, man, you have like sponsors involved. You have so many things involved in that, you know, where you're kind of like, man, for us on a personal level, we know how to take a win and a loss and things like that. In 1 year, like my whole year was crazy and I had my best performance and my worst performance in the same year, you know? So it's like, and then you start to realize as I'm getting a veteran in like the UFC, which is crazy for me. I've always thought myself as like a rookie. Now I'm like, man, if I had like 10 fights, you know, it's like a lot.
Yeah.
But you start to see like people like Brandon Moreno has been cut from the UFC and came back and won the belt, you know, or even Yan Shonan who came from like 2-3 losses and then 2 wins and is fighting for the belt. You know what I mean? Even Amanda Lemos. I mean, it's like, it was kind of short notice, but this fight actually makes a lot of sense. Like we both lost to Jessica. She was, I think, submitted. I was TKO. And then later Amanda ended up fighting for the belt. So I feel like I'm in a way better situation that if I get like just 2 more good wins, I can be fighting for the belt by the end of the year.
It's funny. People don't realize with the fighters, it's not just the physical part of getting ready for a fight. Cause you could be having abs for days, the veins, looking great on the VersaClimber. But if your personal life, if you're mentally all over the place, it's like, yo, not only am I dealing with the most stressful fucking situation somebody could be in, fighting in front of thousands, millions worldwide, but I got all this going on in my head with all this other bullshit. It's equally, they say fighting's mostly mental, but it's such a huge part of it. When your personal life is, whether it's not, it's just in array. Is array a word?
Anyway. Disarray. Disarray.
Disarray.
Yeah. Array is good, Matt.
Disarray. I'm sorry. But it really does affect you, like in the cage, you know? So yeah. I feel what you're saying there, Mackenzie, because, you know, I know what it's like, you know?
Yeah.
Jimmy, Pat, picture of your personal life's disarray, and you got to go and have a live fucking Netflix special.
Well, for me, the worst my, that's the advantage of being a comedian, is the worse my personal life is, the better I am on stage, because I can just talk about it. I just tell everybody what's wrong with it. So it for me, it works just the opposite. I'm in trouble when I'm happy. Like when life is good, my jokes suck. So I guess it works just the opposite. Are you good, Mackenzie, at turning it off? Like when you're training, are you, because if you said you're a bit of an overthinker, like, so do you let yourself turn that off and just train, or does it kind of seep in? Just anything in life.
It seeps in. I'm definitely, I don't know if it's me being a woman. I don't know how it is for the guys, but I'm totally, you know, you can definitely feel like in my trainings, what my vibe is at home, you know, like, oh, Mackenzie's been fighting, or Mackenzie's, you know, on good to, you know, Mackenzie is rested, focused, you know, you can definitely, my emotions come in, you know, and can be good, can be bad, can be even like, even if with my fight with Jessica, for example, it's like, you know, I'm trying to stay the strategy and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden I'm landing some shots, and then it's like my excitement gets in me. And then I'm like, okay, let me do like 4, 5, and 6, you know, when maybe that was a good time to go for the takedown.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's just like the emotion behind it, you know, not that you're like scared, but you feel it and you get excited, you know, so it can be the good and the bad. The same way I can like try and get for a takedown, you know, 5 times in a round. And maybe I don't find the girl, or I'm not able to do it. And I go to the round, and then like before, like Coach Pearl would be like, let's focus. You know, you're good. We're good here. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay. You know, you can kind of see the frustration getting into me. You know, it's just emotion. You know, I think that's, can you hear me? I think that's a good thing. You know, it's good to, you know, to have that behind you. I think in the moment, I guess you can kind of say like, that's heart, you know, when you have that in there, when you have to go and kind of just turn off everything and go and do what you feel. But at the same time, we need to be able to control that. I think to be the best in the world, you know, like Zhang Weili and all the champions, you need to be able to know how to turn it on and turn it off. So that's what I feel like I'm almost there. I feel like there's just a little bit of adjustments. I don't feel like my technique is bad. Is way behind any of these girls. I think it's more the controlling your emotions and controlling your mind behind it in the fight, you know. I think that's just what's missing, when, you know, who makes the least amount of mistakes and who's able to capitalize when the other person does make a mistake.
Right.
Let me ask you really quick, Mackenzie. You see a lot of competitors in the UFC, both male, female. When they don't have a fight, you see them doing something on Fight Pass, a grappling match, a jiu-jitsu match, and stuff like that. Yeah, a bunch of. Look at Molly McCann, how great she's doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, this is more of a personal, like, this is something I would love for you to do. Would you ever think about doing that in the off-season, having a grappling match, or are you just going to strictly just save everything for the cage right now?
Oh man, I'm talking with the guys from the ADCC. I said, if I come back, you know, I'd like to come back at ADCC at T-Mobile Arena in September, October, whenever they're going to do it. So I would like to, if I'm going to do it, come back to grappling, the ADCC. Yeah. I won before in 2015 in Brazil, ADCC. Yeah. So it's definitely a competition that, you know, has a good place in my heart. And it's good, you know, it still keeps me with my MMA style grappling, you know. It doesn't take me too far off, and it's something that I can train hard for. So we're already talking. I'm like, hey, as soon as they give me the okay, you know, I'm going to be definitely focused and training for that.
Would that be a super fight, or would that be you jumping in a tournament? What would that be?
In the tournament.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay. Very cool.
Yes.
You talked about being a veteran at this point, or, you know, getting, like, I don't know how many fights you've had in the UFC. I know you got, I think, 17 profiles. I don't know how many in the UFC, but you're 30. Like, it's so crazy that I've been watching you for so long and you're only 30. Like, so you know that you have just years and years of, especially with your style where you have so much ability on the ground, and you have an ability to not take shots and to spend a lot of the time. So that's got to make you feel good that you get a lot, some of these kinks worked out and you still have many years of fighting left.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long I want to be fighting for. I don't know if I want to be fighting for too many years, but it definitely, as you know, when the losses come, you know, and you start to like, you know, reevaluate, you have that reevaluation of your life, you know, and think about, you know, what you should do wrong, what you did wrong, what you did good and all these things. It definitely puts a little bit like calmness in me. Like, okay, I have time. I have time. You know, I think even as soon as I went into the UFC, you know, I was like, oh, the next round of Rousey, this and that, it was so much like, and it just kind of take that pressure off of me. Like, man, I'm literally learning on the spot. You know, it's like, you know, even my daughter, I see my daughter. I grew up with my dad. He was my coach, you know, and I grew up with him always training jiu-jitsu. You know, he's a jiu-jitsu coach and competes jiu-jitsu until today. My daughter, when she trains, she does the jiu-jitsu. I want her base to be really good in jiu-jitsu. But man, she's already like, before she goes to the armbar, she's grounding and pounding, and then she'll go to the armbar. You know what I mean? She'll like kick, you know, punch, take down, mount, ground and pound, and then go to the armbar. So she's already kind of like a little MMA fighter, you know. And it's crazy to see how the fighters nowadays, you know, they're not, it's not like martial art against martial art how the UFC was before, you know. And I still kind of have the older style where I'm jiu-jitsu and I'm learning how to strike, you know, on the spot, you know, with the best of the best, you know. And I'm thinking, like, just watching my daughter, I'm hoping she doesn't become an MMA fighter, but if she decides to, of course I'll support her no matter what. I'm seeing her already, like, she already know like the cage work. She'll be like 12, 13 already know like everything, ground and pound, cage, the whole MMA as a sport, you know. So it's really cool to see how it's like fighter against fighter. MMA, it's like its own sport now.
Yeah, I think it's a different, and Ronda certainly kicked through the door for everybody, but it's a little bit of a different sport now, especially for, when there's so many more women fighting, there's so many more high ranked and highly competitive women fighting. I mean, she had to go through some very tough people, but you're fighting people who have been training at a much younger age for a lot more different, like you said, more MMA training. So I think it's harder at this point just because it's so much more popular and there's so many more people doing it.
Yes, yes. But it's good too. It's good to have that base, you know, that base at something, you know. It's kind of like when you put it on the scale and you see, okay, would you rather be really good at one thing, you know, and okay at the other things, or be kind of like, you know, mediocre, yeah, mediocre at a little bit of everything, you know. So it's kind of like we're in the mix of these generations where we're all like mixing it up, and so it's really fun, and I'm just enjoying the process, you know. It's like you said, I'm 30. I fought Jessica Andrade, who's 31, and she was the first Brazilian to ever be signed to the UFC, you know what I mean. And it's like, she's just like Amanda, she's fought 135, 125, 115. And I'm thinking, like, I feel like she's so much older, but we're like the same age. And she just has so much experience in the UFC, you know what I mean? So definitely, I think my jiu-jitsu competitions helped me on that. But yeah, it's just learning on the spot, you know. It's like, people ask me, oh, why do you think you're winning, lose, win, lose? It's like, man, because I'm fighting with the best of the best, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's just,
you're losing to great fighters. You're losing to very good fighters. You're not losing to bad, low-ranked fighters. You're losing to the best women in the division.
Yeah.
Well, Mackenzie, look, you're on the main, you're the main fight of the prelims. And again, Matt and I always talk about that. That means the UFC expects this to be a really good fight because you're what's going to push people into the pay-per-view. So that, this is always a highly anticipated fight. So good luck on Saturday. I'm glad everything outside of the cage is working itself out, and you know, you can focus a little more on what you need to. But it's always good talking to you, and I hope you do well.
Yes, thank you guys. Always great talking to you, and I hope you guys enjoy the fight. It'll be awesome.
We will. Mackenzie, have a great fight, okay?
Yeah, thanks guys.
All right, nice talking to you.
Bye bye.
I hate to think of her sad. She's such a nice person.
I could relate. I mean, Jimmy, when you think about stuff like that, well, maybe yeah. It's different from comedy because you can use it and turn it.
When you're fighting, I'm sure it's, yeah, of course.
When I'm at the academy, when I go to my school, I'm so like upbeat there because I love it there. I have such a good time there and I have a good crowd there because I'll just bounce yeah. Out if I don't like. But if I'm like when a friend dies or something, I don't go there. I try to stay away because I don't want to, I'm so upbeat that I don't want to bring everybody down. Like, you know what I mean? Like if I'm in there like, So I get it. It's not the same thing at all, but I understand.
Yeah. You know? No, I try to be upbeat when I train a little bit. I try to be upbeat. Like today I was very upbeat. I give names to things so they know what's coming.
Like what?
I just say special delivery, armbar ordered.
Ooh. Somebody order up an omoplata? Is that what you say?
No, I don't do omoplatas.
Ooh.
Not in my repertoire yet. No, I'm working through some things. I'm finally figuring out a triangle.
You know, Saturday out here, I'm going to watch the fights, of course. And we got
of course.
But I'm also going to stop at my buddy. He's a Hoist Gracie black belt. This guy, John Burke. John Burke from Orlando. I'm going to give him a shout out. He'll like that. I know that guy over 20 years. He's a Hoist Gracie black belt. And Horion and all those guys, a Torrance Gracie black belt. Sure. He's got a place called Six Levels, you know? And one time, Jimmy, quick little story. I was in Orlando with my family, and it was when, was it Hurricane Sandy? It was one of those hurricanes. It was a while ago. But we were stranded, and I was at Universal, and I ran into him. And he goes, hey, man. While you're stuck here, why don't you make some extra cash and do something at my place? So I remember I did a seminar, made a little extra cash to help me out with the hotel rooms. This was a while back. So now he found out I was coming and he goes, man, would you want to do a seminar? And I don't really do a bunch of seminars, but I go, you know what, Jedi John, fuck yeah. So I'm going to stop down there and I'm going to do some getting out of, me and the Sarah Clan, we're going to do some getting out of bad positions into better positions and finishing people. So it'll be fun. It'll
yeah,
be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a little shout out to John, Jedi John Burke of Six Levels.
And Matt, before we wrap today, what we should do is there's two more fights that we have not done. The co-main, which is a great co-main, Whitaker against Paulo Costa. I love Robert Whitaker. Like, he's one of my favorite guys to watch. He's one of my favorite guys to interview. He's just a nice guy and a great, great fighter. But I think I'm going to take Paulo Costa in this fight. Even though Whitaker's 3 and Costa's 6, I'm going to take Paulo in this fight. I think he stops him. I think he finds a way to either in the first or second round. I think Costa stops him.
Okay. I'll take that from you. But I'm going to say something I never thought I'd say because it hurt me personally. But I will say this.
What?
I think Robert Whittaker's got the eye of the tiger back. Jimmy, I think Robert Whittaker has got that eye of the tiger back. That's what I think.
Do you remember you asked if your internet was working? There are times where I wish it wasn't.
You're a mean little bird. Jimmy, I feel that, you know, with the current champ, Dricus, the deadly South African, okay? He took out Robert Whittaker, but Robert Whittaker's like, look, that's a hungry young monster. I was hungry enough. I was just clocking in. I was doing a little, here I come, I'm clocking in to work. No, you need, say it one more time, Jimmy. Sing it to me. You need that eye of the tiger. I wish I could sing, Jimmy. It's not my strong suit.
It's okay.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I guilted Frank Yeager to get me back on his podcast. So all right. I'm going to go in there like the second week of March, me and the African Samurai. I got my buddy Manny, who started training at Sarah BJJ back over maybe a decade ago, smoking Newports, came in, a little chubby, glasses on. Now he transformed himself. That's why I call him. Now it's just Samurai, because you know you shorten up a nickname after a while. It sure. was African Samurai, which I like, and that was his fight name, you know. But now it's just Samurai because it's quicker.
Sure, I can't,
every time he comes in, how many syllables of African Samurai? I can't be. It's a lot
samurai.
Of
Samurai. Yeah,
Samurai. Samurai. Jedi Samurai.
Yeah. Yep.
He teaches at Sarah BJJ. I know what I need when I go on these road trips. I need a guy to take a road trip with me. Now, the last guy to do a road trip with me to go do the champ and the tramp, it's Frankie Edgar and Roger Matthews, was my buddy, the late, great man, Paul the Hulk Harrison, who was a Jim Norton fan.
I know. I met him. I remember meeting him.
Him and Bob Kelly had a thing, and I miss the Hulk so much. So me and the Hulk, if anybody wants to go back and look up that episode of The Champ and the Tramp, me on there, you'll see my buddy Hulk, and he was like my Ed McMahon. He was just laughing at all my shit. But anyway, I need a guy to go with me because we have a fun time. So I'm taking Samurai with me, so we're going to do that. But Jimmy, we got to predict the main event, please.
Ilia Topuria, undefeated, 14-0, a great challenger. Volkanovski has lost 2 out of 3. Both were to Makhachev. I'm absolutely taking Volkanovski because Topuria has beaten some good fighters, but Volkanovski has fought every murderer in the division. I mean, absolutely. And he's beaten almost all of them with the exception of Makhachev. I am taking Volkanovski. I think it ends in the third. I don't know how it ends, and it could go to decision, but I'm taking Volkanovski in the third.
See, my thing is this. I don't want to say my heart is with Volkanovski because I really, you made me, have you ever met Ilya?
No, or I've actually never met Alexander in person either. I've seen him at events, but we've only talked on Unfiltered.
Well, I think these Georgians are fucking just great people. I mean, they're just so great. They're warriors, but they're just such sweet like people. So it's like, And he's buddies with Marab. And so it's like, you know, it's not that I like one guy better. This Ilya, he seems really just like on a mission. Like he's like destined to be the next best thing. You see what he had? Do you ever see what he did to Ryan Hall?
Yeah. I mean, knocked him out.
Yeah, fuck yeah, he did. But it was the way he did it was just. He's just, he finds that target. I mean, look at his fight with Emmett Smith.
Oh, Josh Emmett. His fight with Emmett Smith, yes. It was after the 95 Super Bowl. He just attacked him in the end.
I don't even watch. How about this? I don't even watch football. I don't even know who the fuck. I couldn't even get Emmett Smith out of a lineup. But Josh Emmett, even though that was a war. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Volkanovski by decision because I feel that Ilya will have his time and he could be the next best thing or big thing, next superstar of the sport. I think he feels he already is, which is crucial. Actually, should I pick against you just to be fun?
I
also feel that he could. They say he has a puncher's chance, but I think it's more than that.
Yeah.
He didn't get to where he had, where he is from a puncher's chance. But has he fought anybody with the, like Volkanovski?
Everything's being judged.
He's fought everyone. And again, man, he literally took that fight coming off a couch versus that rematch with
Makhachev. Yes.
So I'm going to say Volkanovski by decision.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know why, Jimmy? Because I once said, I'll tell you in the past, I didn't root, but I voted, I picked, I should say, against Volkanovski. I did that more than once. And every time I do it, I say, I'm not going to do it again. And then I do it again.
I know.
I was about to do it again. I'm not going to do it again.
Don't do it again.
Okay. All right, Jimmy.
Matt, have a great time.
I'm talking, Jimmy. When I see you,
yes,
I'm going to pick you up and you're going to think I'm doing it for the cameras. I'm going to give you a hug. You're going to, okay, you're going to hug me. You're going to give me a little half hug. All right, put me down. I'm not going to put you down.
Yes.
I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to put you down.
It's going to be a nice hug between friends.
You got to learn to do a guillotine, like when somebody's trying to do an abduction. Yeah. When somebody lifts you up, how to get the All right, because I'm gonna pick you up. All right, Jimmy, I hope you like your bear. I'm gonna
let you. Thank you.
And want to plug the fights this weekend?
Yes, tonight 7 p.m. I'll be at the Fat Black Pussycat. And if you want to see my podcast with my wife, go to Nikki and Jim NYC. We have our first episode up. We're working on it and on YouTube. And of course, the fights are this. What a fight this Saturday in Anaheim, 298. It begins early prelims are 6:30. The prelims are 8 p.m. Don't forget Mackenzie and Amanda Lemos on that fight as the main fight. Main card starts 10 o'clock. What a great, great fight. Hernandez against Kopalov, and it goes up to Volkanovski Topuria for the featherweight championship. Fucking Whitaker Costa, an incredible co-main. Jeff Neal, Ian Garry, Marab against Cejudo. Great, great card. I'm very much looking forward to this one. And I'll talk to you this week, man. Have a good trip. Have a safe trip.
Jimmy, thank you so much, Jimmy. I can't wait to watch the fights. I will be watching the fights, and I will be talking. I'll probably FaceTime you before our next podcast.
But next time I see you, I want you to show me. I'm messing up something on the head and arm choke, and I would like you to demonstrate. I'm just not putting my ear in the right position.
It's so funny. On my like the Facebook thing, you know how the memories come up? It was me doing that head and arm choke to Ari Safir.
That's right.
6 years ago. Yeah. That was like so fucking crazy how many years ago it was.
I know.
But hey, man, miss you, love you. I'll talk to you soon, Jenny.
Me too, buddy. I'll see you soon.
Say you love me back.
I love you back.
Yeah, bye, everybody.
Yeah, bye.